We want to look now at exegesis and sermon structure. This is going to be very simple and elementary material. It's for people teaching to the whole congregation, Bible studies, Sunday school. Anyone can use this material. I've kept it very elementary because I know that many of you do not have time to be a full-time teacher, or maybe you don't have the ability to teach all people in the church, but you have good ability to teach a small group or a Sunday school class or even one-on-one. These are basic things we need to know. Now, how do you prepare a message from the Bible? Here's how I like to start. I start with number one, I call meditation or observation, observation, observation. What I like to do is take my text, and we're going to use a text as an example throughout this series. And it'll be Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. So what I will do is either photocopy the text or print it out on my computer. And so I have the text before me. And then what I do is carefully meditate through this text. And as I'm meditating, I'm marking, I'm color coding, I'm drawing arrows. I destroy this piece of paper. If it's a small text, I might even memorize it. I ask lots of questions, and I have it right in front of me. Now, I don't want to use my Bible for this because it's too destructive to your Bible. This way, I can carry it with me wherever I go. I can stick it in a book. I can carry it in the car. I can take it around for an entire week, and I can have it in my notes for later. This is how I like to start my Bible study or my sermon preparation. Meditation. Observe, observe, observe the text. Do not start with your commentaries first. That's the wrong procedure. Start with the text of Scripture. Ask lots of questions of the text. See how the text develops. Try to interpret it by just looking at it. Spurgeon believed in this method. And I want to read to you two fabulous quotations by Charles Haddon Spurgeon on the meditation and, as he says, boring your way into the text. Listen to what he says. It is a great thing to pray oneself into the spirit and marrow of a text, working into it by sacred feeding thereon, even as the worm bores its way into the kernel of the nut. He goes on to say this, let us, dear brethren, try to get saturated with the gospel. I always find that I can preach best when I can manage to lie asoak in my text. I like to get a text and find out its meaning and bearings and so on. And then, after I have bathed in it, I delight to lie down in it and let it soak into me. Well, those are very powerful words, and he's a great preacher and a very vivid writer. So, soak in your text. Let it soak into you. Now, our text is going to be Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. Let's read that right now. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, let's look at the text and let's start to study it, exegete it, and then we'll start putting together a sermon. Exegeting a sermon. This means leading out the meaning, lifting out the meaning, not reading a meaning in. Our job is to figure out what did the inspired writer mean? What did he say? What did the readers hear? And what would they understand the text to mean? That is our job. And we want to be accurate in this. Paul writes to Timothy in the context of dealing with false teachers and his own teaching. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker, and he's thinking now as a servant of the Lord and as a teacher, who has no need to be ashamed because he hasn't done his homework. Rightly handling the word of truth. The false teachers did not rightly handle the word of truth. They were not good workers. They should be ashamed of what they were teaching. I believe we should have a healthy fear of error, of teaching wrong doctrine. And so when I come to the text, I want to know what the text says. I do not want to be a teacher who teaches false doctrine or misleads God's people. So there should be this sanctified fear so that we are good workers and not ashamed of what we produce. Now let's look at some very, very basic principles. And these are very basic. You should know them, but somehow we don't practice them in our Bible study, often because we're in a hurry. So these are basic rules of exegesis, lifting out the meaning, seeking the right interpretation for people. A, in your outline, context, or the circle of context. Now, everyone knows this rule. You know this rule. I'm not telling you anything new. Yet again and again, here's where we fail. We are not following the context. We're not letting the context determine the meaning of words or the theology that is being presented. And it's so easy to read into the text our own preconceived ideas, our own traditions. So we need to be students of context. Now, I said circle of context. So we're looking at Ephesians here. You need to know Pauline literature. That's the larger context. We can even broaden and say biblical literature because the Bible is a whole. It's one. But in this particular passage of Scripture, we need to know the whole book of Ephesians, who it's written to, what it's about, because it all fits together. It's one letter. Then we need the immediate context. Now, the immediate context is chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, which is about spiritual warfare and the Christian armor. That's its immediate context. And so when we interpret this passage and preach on this passage, we have to display the context and tell people this is the larger context in which it fits. So, it's a principle well known, but a principle very, very, and too often neglected or not paid close attention to. Be a student of context and always ask, how does this fit in the context? Be in your outline, emphasis of the text. What's the big idea? What's the big theme? What's the main words, the main verb? Well, in this case, it's very, very clear, prayer, praying at all times. And then C, figures of speech. The Bible uses many figures of speech. You need to know about figures of speech. Get a book on hermeneutics and learn about the different figures of speech, similes and metaphors, hyperbole. You need to know those because they're scattered throughout the whole Bible. Now, in our passage here, we have some beautiful figures of speech. Ambassador in change, the soldier, the Roman soldier, prayer. We need to warfare. These figures of speech help us in interpreting the passage, and also they provide great illustrations for us in communicating the passage. So watch for figures of speech, see how they help in interpretation. Then D, key words. A key word here is all. It's repeated four times. You should be alerted to that. Why does he say all? Undoubtedly speaking very comprehensively here. Also different words for prayer. Look for key words. Remember, words are important. They mean something, and the ideas are carried on key words. And every false teacher does the same thing, reinterprets words. They give new meaning to old words, and they're the false meanings. And then next, E, grammar. Oh, I know most people hate grammar. They go, no, please, no grammar. Well, you're going to have to know basic grammar. The main verb, key nouns, descriptive adjectives. Now, in the Greek language, little transitional words, little prepositions are very important following the logic. And that's why I said to you earlier, you need a good Bible that is essentially literal, that will not remove all these key words like for or therefore or in. They give us the logic and the development and flow of thought of the writer. You've got to look for those little words. They're very, very important. They're little, but they have big meaning. And they help particularly in the process of proper interpretation. F, problems and disagreements. You need to be honest with the text. There might be things you don't understand. There may be serious disagreement. When you're teaching the Bible, tell people there's different views on this. For example, in our text, some people might think that prayer is one of the pieces of armor. Others say, no, it's not one of the pieces of armor. So you can present both views and give your view. Now, it seems most commentators agree it's not a piece of armor. It's what the Christian soldier does when he has the armor on. A dependent work of prayer is what the Christian soldier does, particularly for others in the battle. So if there's problems and disagreements, acknowledge them. Don't try to explain everything away. You don't know everything. Paul says we know in part. And that's why we go to commentaries and get help from people who have done a lot more study than we have done. So tell people that. And you can even say, I'm not sure at this point. People will respect you for that. And then, the analogy of faith. The analogy of faith means that the Bible interprets the Bible. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And it's amazing how the whole Bible fits together. I've read the Bible for 50 years now, and I've been a consistent, persistent Bible reader. And again, I'm amazed how the Scripture helps me to interpret the Scripture. And so that's why we go to commentators who have studied the Bible 50 years, and they know the whole of Scripture. They can bring Scripture to bear on Scripture. So the analogy of faith is very important. So in our passage, we are told to pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, you can go to Jude 20, and you have a similar phrase, pray in the Holy Spirit. You can go to Romans 8, 26, which we are told the Spirit helps us in our prayers. And so the Scripture will help us to interpret these difficult Scriptures. And that's why I recommended to you a Bible concordance. You look up Holy Spirit, you look up prayer, and you can get help in your Bible interpretation. We want to be good interpreters of the Word. We want to be accurate. We do not want to teach false teaching. We need these basic principles of Bible exegesis, lifting out the meaning, letting the text speak to us, letting the text control our thinking and our sermon and our preparation.